That's
Queued up.
perfect.
Okay, recording is in progress. Fantastic. Well, welcome everybody to the Vina Groundwater Sustainability Agency regular board meeting of May 8th, 2024. We're in person, and then there's online attendance just for viewing. Just a quick public comment information. Public comments will be accepted in person at the meeting or may be submitted by email to vinagsapublicomments@chicoca.gov. If you would like to address the board at this meeting, you are requested to complete a speaker card and hand it to the board clerk prior to the conclusion of the staff presentation for that item. Just before we do the roll call, I just want to let folks know that we are pulling item 6.1 from the agenda. That's the consideration of appointments for the Stakeholder Advisory Committee. I anticipate that'll be at the next meeting. If there's any questions, that anybody can pass that on. Seeing none, with that, Linda Herman, roll call, please.
Thank you, Chair. Board Member Reynolds.
Here.
Board Member Kimmelshue.
Here.
Board Member Doyle.
Here.
Vice Chair Boyer.
Here.
Chair Chasinski.
Here. We'll move to the consent agenda. There's only one item on it, approval of the April 10th, 24 Vina GSA board meeting minutes. Does anybody have any edits or comments about them?
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Well, we have Director Kimmelshue moving going back and forth, I'm going to say that I heard Vice Chair Royer, probably because of the speed of sound traveling. So he can be the second. And I'm assuming we had no public comment on the consent agenda, correct?
That's correct.
Great. So Linda, at your convenience.
Board Member Reynolds.
Aye.
Board Member Kimmelshue.
Aye.
Board Member Doyle.
Aye.
Vice Chair Royer.
Aye.
Chair Chasinski.
Aye. We had no items removed from the consent agenda, so we'll move to public comments. Members of the public may address the board at this time on any matter not already listed on the agenda. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. The board cannot take any action at this meeting on requests made under this section of the agenda. Do we have any comment cards?
We do not.
Any member of the audience who didn't file a comment card, would you like to say anything? Oh, my alternate.
Yes, I missed last meeting, and on the minutes for the meeting, it says that, I believe this is true, that there were comments from, help me out, I'm just blank.
Jim Brobeck.
Jim, yes, there were comments from Jim Brobeck. And I would like to suggest that there be some content there, because I have no idea what he commented on or anything, because I missed the meeting. And so I'm kind of hoping that the public comment could have like a sentence of what it was about.
Thank you for the suggestion. We can talk about that as a management team and board and decide if we want to move away from action minutes. What we have are called action minutes, and those are minutes that just state what the action is at the meeting. They don't go into further detail. There's a different level of specificity that's required if you go beyond that. So we can just decide on the merits of that later, but thank you.
May I ask, since this is recorded, is there a video somewhere that they can find?
Yes.
And look at.
There is video and audio of the meetings that are posted online on the date that the meeting was. So everything's recorded. And that is why we're able to do the action minutes, because it is recorded.
Super. And
Sorry.
Good.
I'll just ask her later.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Thank you. And in case Cammy didn't come through to the folks at home, we do have recordings to Director Kimmelshue's point. So. Fantastic. Seeing no other public comment, we have pulled item 6.1, and we will go to item 6.2, budget considerations for fiscal year 24-25. Cammy.
Thank you, Chair Tuchinski. I am trying to share my screen. I'm hoping share. Oh, there. I had to hit another button. I'm sorry. So thank you. All right. Thank you, Chair Chuchinski. What you have before you is, as you know, the GSA developed a comprehensive 5-year budget that details anticipated costs associated with achieving compliance with the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, and that is what is here on the screen before you. This budget includes operational costs related to the GSA and costs for implementing the groundwater sustainability plan. The budget forecasts included in the final fee report identified an estimated revenue need for the fiscal year 24-25 at $495,250 without taking into consideration the additional sustainable groundwater grant program money, although you do see some of those items listed here. The budget includes costs for Sigma or for GSA administration, such as personnel, office expenses, professional services, assessor's office fees, legal expenses, and a contingency reserve. At the June 2024 meeting, this board will be considering and adopting the 24-25 budget. Therefore, we are asking for some guidance from the board on specific line items that will be crucial for maintaining operations and Sigma compliant. And these things are litigation services, ongoing professional services, and for outside of the Sigma grant projects and a contingency reserve. So I'm going to scroll down. So this is what's on the screen here is the five-year budget that was included in the technical memo and then the final fee study. And that's kind of where we came up with the fee for every subsequent year, knowing that we would come back and look at it. Although, as you recall, we cannot go over the $3.09 in the future fees. But what we're looking for today, let me go up, is in your packet, and I'm gonna. So this draft budget doesn't include the revenue that we anticipate from the Sigma grant projects or the expenses of that. By adding that, it won't change the actual amount that we'll be charging for the fee. But some of the things that we need that will be different than what was in that final fee study are identified here in pink. And I'll just go down each of those, and then there will be some items that we'll need your input on. And that way, when we bring the budget back next month, you'll have given us some guidance so we're not having to discuss it then. So the first one is a change. So the fee study revenue identified $5,000 for audit services. It has actually gone up to $7,500. So we've reflected that in the budget. Legal services, and remember that legal services are different than the litigation. And the fee study identified $50,000. And based on the last couple of years, the work that Valerie has been doing has only cost us about $20,000 each year. And so I put in $25,000 to accommodate any changes in her fee schedule, as well as working on this new fee study. So she did review documents last time, and it still brought us to about $20,000. I think there'll probably be a little more involvement on her end this year. And so I just putting in for about $25,000 for legal services. The next item down, which it says bank fees, we had included bank fees because at one time we thought about not using the county system and actually getting a bank account at something like Tri-County's Bank, but we don't have that. So I thought we should eliminate the bank fees. And then the outreach, we had budgeted about $10,000, but that will be covered by the Sigma grant program. So I reduced that amount. And then under professional services, GSP implementation, keeping the $25,000 that the fee study, if you remember in the 23-24 fiscal budget, which is that gray column, we zeroed that out. But what we're finding is that we will probably need some kind of outside services to assist us with pulling together the assessor's role this year in July and preparing for that. So just having a little bit of money set aside for outside support services, whether it's either a consultant or utilizing the county's GIS department and paying for those services. So I put in that, kept that in the budget. The big item, one of the big items to talk about is the legal defense reserve. So the fee study identified $50,000 for this next fiscal year. As you know, for the 23-24 fiscal year, we identified $100,000. We will spend that $100,000 by the end of this fiscal year, as well as probably go over a little bit by, and I estimated about $20,000. So in talking with Valerie, she had indicated that the litigation fees for this next year could range from $60,000 to about $120,000, depending on if anyone drops the lawsuit or changes, or it's so it's a range. So I put the high end of that range as well as what we may go over in the next 2 months for this fiscal year. And we can come back to these independently. I did not include a contingency. We didn't include contingency this last fiscal year. The fee study did identify a 10% based on some of those other costs. So I kept that at zero with the idea of trying to keep costs as low as possible. The other item down under the Sigma compliance category is the long-term financial planning fees. So in the 23-24 fiscal year, we identified $65,000 that would be collected, be part of the fee, and then Sigma grant will cover $80,000. So that covers the cost of this new fee study that we have. One of the things that was not, that we included in as potentially as in the budget for the consultant was the outside direct mailing, and she had provided a range of costs of from about $33,000 to $87,000. And the range is because of the mailings. And the $33,000 mailing is more for a targeted outreach, not to every single parcel within the GSA. But the $87,000 includes a targeted mailing early on saying, hey, we're doing this again. And then assuming that if we did something similar to wanting to do the outreach, consistent with something like the Prop 218 process, where everybody in the entire sub-basin gets some kind of letter, depending on what, however we are able to adopt the fee, whether we use a 218 process, a Sigma process, a Prop 26 process, it would allow us to have a more robust outreach program as part of this new fee study. So so I put the high end of that in the budget just to make sure that we can really do the direct mailing outreach and noticing that I think that we heard people wanted as part of the original fee study and maybe this next fee study. So with that, if you add up all of those things, the budget is varies from what was proposed, and it would get us to about $2.43 per acre fee for this next fiscal year. I wanted you, if you took what I was recommending, if you wanted to adjust it up or down, then it would obviously adjust accordingly. So the key items that that we're looking for direction on is the litigation, the amount, the line item for litigation, and the line item for the fee study, the long-term fee study, and the mailings. So, and I'm happy to answer any other questions, but those were the key things that really affect the budget.
Great, thank you. Are there any questions on the dais? I want to give the new guy a chance in case he had a question.
I was just going to ask Cammie on the legal defense reserve. Does that only include coverage for current litigation?
Yes. So that's what is anticipated for the two lawsuits that we are currently in. So one thing to consider is, okay, let's pretend for a moment that both lawsuits get dropped. Do we also want to have something in contingency for future? And $100,000 would probably be a good base for the future, as we just spent $100,000.
And just to follow up on his question, If both lawsuits do get dropped, we could just reflect that in the following budget, correct? Yes. Where we just wouldn't necessarily have that because we'd already have filled that, for lack of a better term, at this point.
Yes.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah, in the future, the 25, 26 year, we wouldn't need to have that contingency because it would already be in place if both lawsuits were dropped.
My only question is about the 3% escalator. Are we feeling confident based on how inflation has gone for other things like my gas and my groceries, that 3%, we made 3% before things really went through the roof.
Right.
From what you're finding with checking with Valerie and other things, that figure is going to work, or should we be thinking about potentially worrying about inflation over the next year and maybe this isn't sufficient?
I didn't change it. I just kept it at the 3%. That is also something, if you think that we should go a little higher on, we could do that as well. I think for this next year, because of the Sigma grant money, that does cover a lot of the costs of the, because we had the grant administration that kind of adds, gives us a little bit of buffer on the things that from a Sigma compliance. And that's where a lot of the budget, the remaining budget would be covered with the Sigma fund. So I think we kind of have this cushion to, I'll say, make mistakes in our estimates at, for this next year. I think with Catherine from HEC, the fee study consultant, she'll be able to give us a better direction in our fee study in the future and what we should be considering in this next fee study. And I think that would be more reflective of current trends.
Great. And again, I wouldn't have even raised it if we'd had contingencies.
Right.
But the other hand, as I'm looking over it, I don't know where we would need a contingency based on your conservative budgeting. Is that part of your thought process about not having a contingency also?
Yes, where I actually plugged it into a line item, which would be the professional services, gives us a little bit of leeway where if something comes up that we weren't anticipating.
Well, it's all in the legal defense fund.
Yeah. And in the legal,
I mean, it's literally 33% of our budget. Right. So these two lawsuits are costing us a third of our budget.
Right.
Which is a pretty big consideration the next round of fee studies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I normally don't like having a budget without a contingency, but that's such a big number and such a crapshoot that it's basically become our contingency.
Right.
Great. Are there any questions on this end or any?
No question, but I do have a comment.
Mm-hmm.
And this board has heard this from me previously, but I find it somewhat distressing, concerning, and inappropriate that we have to put up $140,000 in funds to defend this organization from two lawsuits that I believe could have been handled without having to go through the courts. These are two issues, and I'm not going to get into the issues of what they are, but I think interested parties with common sense could sit down and work these things out without going to the courts. And I did a quick calculation, and if we were to do away completely with the $140,000 in legal reserve, and this is just a real quick and dirty, we would be down to about $1.56.
Yes.
Per acre. So my final comment is, some people may think these lawsuits are good, but guess who's paying for them? The landowners are paying for them through fees. Enough said. Thank you.
Great. Now, were there any public comment cards that you received, Linda, on this item? Or Dini?
No.
No. Anybody in the audience? Just nope. Okay.
Please. One more question.
Okay, on the program manager, Cammie, is that on your professional service? Is that for an additional staff or
that's
is that?
For,
okay. That's just a, okay.
Yeah. And just as a reminder, so that's for Dylan's position. Yep. And the GSA pays for 70%, and then the Wyandotte Creek GSA pays the other 30%.
I just was wondering if that was an additional spot or just to cover what you've got. Great. Thanks.
And that's the whole package. That is retirement.
Yes. Yeah.
Medical, the whole thing. Thank you.
So, Cammie, did you get the guidance that you needed, or do you have a specific
I think I'm just going to keep it as it is, and then I'll add in the Sigma revenue and the Sigma expense, and it'll be exactly where it needs to be. And it'll be roughly $2.43, give a penny or two for Dylan mentioned our insurance might go up, but it won't change it by like half a cent. Yeah. So.
And again, because you've been so diligent about those individual expenses, not having a contingency sounds like, again, it's not as much of an issue. And again, to your point, you know, roughly the amount that of the up from what we're charging this year is to cover our legal thing. So that seems to be very blatantly clear. So great. If no other comments or things, we'll consider this, you know, for a vote at the next meeting.
Okay. And yes.
Again, we've answered your questions.
And just to follow up. So at the next meeting, you'll have this complete budget and then also a resolution adopting the fee for the 24-25 fiscal year, which is what we'll put for on the assessor's tax roll and compile that by August 12th.
Great. And then is there going to be like an RFP for the consultant to do this, or is that going to be a TV? You might just do it with the county and thus you wouldn't need one.
Yeah, we'll either use the county's on call and have a county consultant help us, or work with the county IT or GIS team and figure out what they would charge us to assist us with pulling the assessor's role together.
Good. Yeah. Making sure we have that exactly right. Yes. It'll be fantastic. So
exactly right, with the right acreage and all of that good stuff in it.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, thank you so much. Item 7, communications and reports. We have the quarterly well permit survey. I'd emailed a question earlier. I didn't realize it was that you were going to be presenting this, Dylan. So I sent one to Cami. I just wanted to forgive me for asking the question first. I was just curious if we actually are on pace to be a kind of where we were in recent years, because I found different if when I was just trying to extrapolate first, between the finalized one and the initial report, I was coming up with numbers that were quite different if I was multiplying by 4, you know, thinking this was a quarterly number. So, and the other part that dawned on me when I looked at the annual, when we would have the most applications and the fewest, it wasn't a direct correlation that every year we could count on August being the time people were putting in wells. No, we had a lot of different applications coming in at different times, which also then made it hard for me to just extrapolate if we're on pace. So that was my question. Are we on pace, or are we seeing something different that might cause us to raise our eyebrows?
No, we're not seeing anything different. One thing to consider is the way the county pulls the quarterly reports is they, and I think this is the, they get the applications, but then they've put in when they are finalized. So what is reflected in there doesn't mean that that's when the application was filed nor when it was drilled. So there's like this delay in information. So really it's just looking at like, what is it annually of how many new 8-inch ag wells were drilled and then how many, you know, domestic wells, and just looking at the final number versus like a quarterly number. So it's not really indicative of all of a sudden we're in a drought. It increases in drought years, right? And because different areas, like a lot of the wells that were drilled over last year were in, or the year before, were in the Butte Subbasin because of, you know, not being able to use surface water. So they were probably preparing for future droughts when they have surface water cutbacks. But it's just a number to look at of what's happening in the county. But and then some of the data, when it shows the final data and the bar graph is going up and down, it was also the Department of Environment, Division of Environmental Health cleaning up their books. And so they put all of the information in there at once, and it looked like there was 62 wells that were applications or that were drilled in August, and that was not the case either. So the information, just kind of look at the final numbers for over a year is probably what you want to look at.
Great, perfect. Mm-hmm. Any questions from? Great. And I assume there were no comments on this. Great. So with that, we will adjourn. We will have our next VINA GSA board meeting on June 12th at 5:30 in these very chambers. Thank you, everybody, for coming.
You.
Well done. That was a new record.
Man.